now we're going to look a little bit broader. We're going to talk about Canada, Germany, and Russia.
Yeah. This follows up that controversy a few weeks ago. You remember when there was that turbine that was repaired in Canada and then was being sent back overseas so that it could be installed in a pipeline so that Russian energy could get to Germany because Germany needed it. And it was this whole thing because an exemption had to be made to the sanctions that Canada has imposed on Russia. And the Ukrainian president at the time said that he felt, that was a wrong move. Justin Trudeau was accused of betraying Ukraine. You remember that whole conversation. Well, yesterday, the German foreign minister, Annalena Baerbock, and Canada's foreign minister, Melanie Joly, had a conversation talking about this Nord Stream 1 natural gas pipeline. So the whole idea is you send back this turbine, it gets installed, Russia sends gas to Germany. But that hasn't really worked out, and the German minister basically says that Vladimir Putin's just playing games.
He tried to split us. He tried to play games with us. And now the whole world can see crystal clear that he is just using energy as a gameplay.
And that even though that turbine was repaired in Canada and returned, that Putin is just using energy as a weapon of war. Further proof. And that was a big part of the conversations we understand yesterday.
So is that really the case? Is that how we're looking at this and how we're perceiving it? Let's find out with our next guest, who's an author, writer, and energy policy analyst. David Yeager is joining us. David, good morning. Thanks for being on the show.
Hi, good morning.
So, okay, yeah. This situation feels a bit convoluted. So hopefully we've set it up correctly and defined the situation for what it is. In your opinion, do you think that this is just Russia playing a game of war chess?
Well, if I could start with a joke. You're talking to the only guy in the world that really knows what's going on over there. And I mean, I've no idea, but I just, you know what I got thinking, though, in preparing for this interview, is there was that famous quote from Winston Churchill in 1939, and he described Russia as a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. And so in tracking this down, I found a great article from the New York Times in 2008. And what, there had been a bunch of double crosses and double dealings with oil companies and the usual stuff. And the quote of the article says, "An inscrutable and menacing land that plays by its own rules, usually to the detriment of those who choose more open regulations." And so I got sums it up pretty well. Is who knows what? The only person that knows what they're doing is Vladimir Putin, they say one thing and do something else. But this is not new. This is why I thought this quote was trenchant.
Yeah, and this is why I think it's so funny that, as we just heard, German Federal Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock says, "Now the world can see crystal clear." I don't know that this is crystal clear for everyone that's trying to analyze this.
Well, if life was simpler in 1939, and Winston Churchill, everybody thinks a pretty smart guy, couldn't figure it out. But no, what they're doing is there was a report out from the International Energy Agency this morning that really looks back a year. And they started throttling gas supplies to Europe a year ago, last September. They started choking back the gas just a little bit.
Okay.
And they're now at the point, and I think it is pretty good. The turbine thing, hey, look, nobody really knows what they're doing or understands what to do. We talked about this. They said, well, if we don't give the turbines back, we're not going to give you any more gas. So Canada did what they would do to a G7 partner country. They thought, well, gosh, we've got there's lots of moving parts in this, and this will annoy the Ukraine, but maybe keep Europe from starving or freezing to death. And so they sent the compressor back, and because it went to Germany, it hasn't moved. It didn't make any difference. That was the nadir of yesterday's conversation, is Canada's initiative of going against the grain on the sanctions had no material impact. There's one turbine that hasn't moved since it got to Germany.
Well, and that's
exactly. Go ahead.
And that goes along with what Baerbock had said about they're trying to split us, because there was a huge controversy and the Trudeau government got an awful lot of flack for abandoning Ukraine. So it seemed like yesterday's conversation was more about trying to repair some of those bridges and continue to paint Putin as the bad guy in all of this, which I think most people agree he is.
Well, that's no problem with that one. He's the bad guy, all right. The point is that even though the pipeline went down for maintenance and ended about a week ago, and then they're only at 20% levels. So they're running the math on the gas at 20%, and they're going into next winter. and they're saying that there's no way that Europe is going to have sufficient storage built up for the winter heating season. So they're already rationing electricity all across Europe. I saw Spain yesterday they're shutting off lights at night, controlling the thermostats. If you're running your aircon, you can't be any cooler than 27 degrees Celsius with a hot day in Canada. Mm-hmm. In the winter, they're saying you can't be any warmer than 18 degrees Celsius. They're scrambling to find LNG, and they're looking like that. Yes, there's absolutely no question at this point that Putin is using energy, and particularly natural gas, as a weapon of war. Going to break the back of the people that are, I guess, that the strategy would be to break the back of the people that are supplying the Ukraine with weapons that's making life miserable on their war front. So it's a real mess.
So is the goal then to really make the people of Germany uncomfortable, or is the goal to make Canada look bad because Canada is the country that had to make this sanction exemption?
Well, going back to Winston, a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. Now, yeah, there's another war going on. There's the Cold War between Russia and the United States is being fought in Europe again. We can't lose the geopolitical aspects of this are continuing. I mean, if you go back to Trump, the much loathed Donald Trump, when they built Nord Stream 2, he said, don't do it. He said to Germany, don't do it. Don't get more dependent on Russian gas. And of course, it was Trump, so it didn't matter what he said. Mm. He was ridiculed, but he was warning them about their increasing dependence on Russian gas and what that could mean. But yeah, there's another battle going on here, which is a reinvention of the Cold War, and so there's so many elements to this and so many layers to this that to really understand what's going on. But in the end, sort of where we were at last time is what Europe did was they made themselves dependent on Russian gas and decided they didn't need alternative supplies of coal, oil, and natural gas, went all in on renewables, and left themselves vulnerable to a guy with bad intentions, Putin. Yeah,
maybe it'd be nice if Canada could help, but even if we can, and if there's a political will to ship more energy overseas to Europe, this is a long game. This doesn't happen overnight either.
I was thrilled to see the finance minister say yesterday that we'll get Europe more LNG. And finally, I mean, after spending years blocking energy exports, but of course that's where the votes are now. This is all politics all the time, all over the world. For the longest time under the Liberals, that blocking hydrocarbon development and exports was good for votes. The pendulum has swung. Now blocking LNG exports is not. That's where the votes are now, is supporting Europe. So they've changed their mind. Mysteriously silent on this is the government of Quebec, which about a year ago right now killed the Energy Saguenay LNG export project, the Liberals doubled down on that one in February. So everybody's mysteriously silent about the moves of both the Quebec and the Canadian government on a large scale LNG project, which was killed a year ago, and now they're dusting off some smaller projects in New Brunswick and Nova Scotia, helping get something going in a couple of years.
But how long? That's what I'm trying to get at. Is a time
table?
We're going to do it, but how long is this going to take?
Well, we can't do anything for the time frame of, it's already August, so for the time frame of the coming winter, there's very little we can do. I believe that there may be some more energy exports. One of the big setbacks was the Freeport LNG export facility from the U.S., which is a big help, caught fire in June, and it's supposed to be back online in October. But they are, as they say, in the oil patch between a rock and a hard place, and for the upcoming winter, they're scrambling, and we'll see how it goes. But in the short term, Russia's playing hardball, and it's a war being fought with many weapons on many fronts, and our little part that we play over here, just trying to help out where we can, a little late to the party on the exports. In the long term, yes. If Canada decides to join the world again and participate in the world, and this drives us in the oil patch nuts. I mean, the largest single supply of responsible natural gas in the world that has been intentionally held off the market for political reasons is in Canada. Now, if I sound a little, if I sound a little testy, I am, and we should be. So that's, but that's fine. That's reversing itself because of global events. But it's not common sense that's calling, causing us to start thinking about doing the right thing on our on the global energy front. It's bad behavior on Putin's part and events in Europe, unfortunately. Not.
Let's then bring it back to our soil then, David. So just go down that road with us for a couple minutes, because we do have a little bit more time with you. In a perfect world then, how does Canada re-enter the global stage of being an oil supplier? What is the formula that we need to do?
We go back and we basically re-look at everything we've done since 2015. And saying that we cannot, you know, the climate policies, and it was 18 LNG export projects on the books only 10 years ago. One of the largest pools of natural gas in the world that remains untouched is the Horn River Basin. They're trying to build the LNG Canada project, the Coastal GasLink pipeline is still obstructed. There's people that trashed that pipeline in February that haven't been arrested yet. I mean, the Quebec government is banning fossil fuels. They're going to court. There's people that have natural gas deposits in the lower mainland, in the lower St. Lawrence region of Quebec, that are having to take the government to court because they just made producing oil and gas illegal in the province of Quebec. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we've done in the name of political correctness and climate change in Canada that are detrimental to not only our economy but the energy balance of the world. If you go back, I mean, I'm throwing out a bit of roll here, but
no, rant away.
Rant. That's a strong. I try not to rant, you know, but I do.
Well,
get
stay on
I
your roll get, then.
I do get a little testy on these things, but if you go back to the 70s when the OPEC crisis, when what solved the OPEC crisis was not OPEC, it was the West. It was the North Slope of Alaska, the North Sea. It was the Western countries that solved the energy crisis of the 70s. And when oil got really high in 2008, when it went to $147 a barrel and had an impact on the global economic crisis of 2008-2009, the countries that moved the needle on global oil supplies was Canada and the United States. Yeah. Canada put 2 million barrels a day of oil sands on production, and the United States shale oil added 8. Like, we changed the Western countries changed the whole global energy balance, and now we're run, you know, we're the people that can move the needle, that can make the changes, are run by governments that got elected by promising to make fossil fuels illegal. I mean, we got a government in Canada running around telling us that you can't use nitrogen and fertilizer, and you're going to have to cut emissions. I mean, we got to, you know, we're part of the world. We got to join the world and look around.
Okay, David, we'll leave it there. That's all the time that we have with you.
Don't give anybody. I don't want to get arrested here. Don't give anybody my address.
No, David, your candor is appreciated. Thank you so much for your perspective.
Yeah, bye bye.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.